Kia ora, and welcome back to System Fix, a podcast from the health media. My name is Barbara Fountain, and I am editor of New Zealand Doctor Rata Aotearoa. Each episode of System Fix, we take a look at progress with the reforms proposed for the New Zealand health system. These arose from the report of the Health and Disability System Review Panel, aka the Simpson Report. However, they have been significantly revved up by Health Minister Andrew Little to become what I like to call the Big Little Revolution. On System Fix, I speak with regular panellists and invited guests about the changes, the highs, the lows, what's happened to date, and what we might expect. Thanks for joining me. Kia ora, and welcome to Episode 11 of System Fix, where it is just me and a chat with rural and Māori health advocate Kim Gosman. In Episode 10, I spoke to delegates at the National Rural Health Conference at Wairaki to find out what they were thinking about the health reforms after hearing from Ministers Andrew Little and Pene Hanare and from Health and Disability System Transition Unit Deputy Director Martin Hefford. There was a lot of interest in how localities might work for rural health, and a chat with Martin provided more details and the overwhelming message that rural communities have an opportunity to shape their future health services. Before the conference finished, I caught up with Kim Gosman, Ngāpuhi, Ngāti Kahinuhu Kiwaroa and Ngāti Tautahi. Kim lives in Turangi. She trained as a nurse in the 1950s and has seen the move from hospital boards through to area health boards, the reforms of the 90s, and then the arrival of district health boards. She has a long association with the Rural General Practice Network and has seen the impact of reform on rural and Māori health services. It was a little breezy when we stepped outside to chat, but I started by asking her about her experience with the health system.
My background has been across most of the areas in health, with a focus on families, children and community, both from a nursing perspective in the field, as a well child nurse, working in communities in general practice, and what else have I done? Education, management, and more recently in the last few years in governance and working with several boards, one of which has been the New Zealand Rural General Practice Network. I worked with them in the early times as a voluntary support for them, and in 2009, then chair, first nurse chair of the network, Kirsty Morrell McMillan, invited Herawini Puneho, who was the representative for the South Island. She invited him to be her co-martua, which changed forever the journey New Zealand General Practice Network. And that became evident with the signing of a kawanata last evening. I think you might have witnessed that. It's been a really interesting journey. Yes, it's been a long time. I haven't really ever left it. And one of the exciting things over this conference, yesterday I spent most of my time talking to groups of students. And that has always been my passion. Mm. Because our future's in their hands and our children's futures are in their hands. So they're the leaders of tomorrow, and we've had good examples of that here at this conference.
So how do you feel about the future that's being drawn out for them by the minister?
By the minister. I think it's courageous. And I absolutely agree with Dr. Awiri Jansen, who said when he was interviewed that it's the most major change that he's experienced in his lifetime. And I would agree with that. In my working days for Ngāti Tuwharetoa, when Sir Ross Jansen in the health authorities, when they were part of the picture, he visited Ngāti Tuwharetoa and invited them to engage in the delivery of health services. The people entered that discussion, and many, many, many people attended the three major hui, which then said, yes, Ngāti Tuwharetoa would enter into that. And I had come from one of the first changes. You may remember we had 29 hospital boards. Nobody knew where the money went. It went into a black hole, and there was no accountability, it would seem, other than how the businesses ran, but it was never public and it was never transparent in terms of the use of government funding. And I think across a lot of hospital boards, it might have been a bit of a lolly scramble, first up, best dressed and things like that, dare I say that, because I was young in those days. We went from there to reduce, I think it was about 14 area health boards, and I transferred from education into area health boards and managed the Whanganui Manawatū community services for Whanganui. So my patch was the city, Martin, Bulls, Hunterville, hospital closed, you know, people out in the street marching, keep their hospital open, Taihape, Wairuru, Ohakuni Raitihi, and down the river. That was a really exciting time. Challenged for me, having to look at managing budgets and knowing how your budget could be blown with one baby born with a rare disease, your budget was gone. And that's still an issue, as I've learned from this conference here. When I saw what has happened, and there have been many ways of looking at what might happen, I really applaud my colleagues who were brave enough to challenge through a Treaty of Waitangi claim and just to put to the government that Māori are in the position they are today because of health policy from the very beginning. And interestingly enough, and I'll share some personal information, I didn't engage in that because for various reasons. While I live in this area, I'm not Ngāti Tuwharitoa. I come from the far north, and my mother has roots in Ngāti Kahununu, Te Wairo, down to the South Island, and none of those areas have I ever worked in or lived in. But what happened recently, we're looking at my father's land and succession and things like this through the Māori courts, and he left me a battered cardboard case. And I started reading through my grandfather's history and engagement with the Legislative Council when they had one all those years ago, Parliament, and the evidence that he left that actually demonstrated in writing and letters between ministers and patients, constituents, people, Māori people, and you could see how policy did nothing to help. And I looked at this box and thought, why didn't I open it earlier? The government would have had their own policies reflecting back at them at that particular time. But it's history. You asked me earlier about the length of time. I think during my time with Ngāti Tuwharitoa from 1994 through to 2009, we went through 8 different transitions, area health boards to regional health authorities to every other one over that period of time. The longest period of time we've had have been the district health boards, and I never did understand why people didn't look back and learned that they got rid of 29 hospital boards, and here we are with 20 district health boards. From a practical point of view and from an operational point of view, I have to say there were two actually, regional health authorities, they were keen to engage us anyway. So they were keen to put their resources with newly forming Māori providers, NGOs. The other one was the HFAs. And the HFAs were big enough, local enough, that you actually had some relationship, good working relationship between the community and the funders. And that worked for us here anyway in Ngāti Tuwharitoa. And I'll give you an example. We went to talk to them one time about what we were finding the needs of our people were. And they were really across all the votes. So from health, welfare, housing, all the rest, all the things we're talking about today. So we go to our contact manager and two of us, and we said, look, this is what we're finding and what you're asking us to do the way we're contracted, but this is actually what we're finding. How can we bring all of this together so when we're working with our families, we're actually working with them across those spectrums? She said, can you give me 24 hours? And we said, oh, we can stay overnight. We did all the travelling in those days. And so she said, I'll think about it overnight. Come back and see me. 24 hours later, we signed a contract for service coordination for people with high needs. And I now look back and say that was the early beginnings of whānau ora. And as a Māori service, I don't know why we didn't think about that title at the time, but it was one of the most successful services that we had because we were able to work on what the issues were in every family, and then they were supported to go through the various systems.
So HFA was?
Health Funding Authority.
So they had quite localised offices?
Yes, they did, mostly Hamilton.
Right.
And that kind of thing, until recent times, District Health Board, our local times being Rotorua. Mm. But, you know, you get used to doing the 2.5 hours up there and the 2.5 hours back because a lot of decision-making and planning and things can go on route when you travel with colleagues to think about what's being challenged and what we've answered to and where we think we're going and where they think they're going. Mm. But in today's environment, the team that challenged for the Waitangi claim has really taken us right back to the beginning. The government has been very brave in doing something different. And the picture that they've put up there with us, with the Health New Zealand and with the Māori Authority, that picture demonstrates the commitment of the ministry to bravely bring the articles of the treaty in its entirety in any of their documentation. And the guidelines are there for all of us to learn from and grow from and account to and be accountable to. Having said that, when I saw the four entities, I thought, oh, okay, where are we going to fall into all of this? And there's a whole lot of things you could think about. I'm hoping it'll be different. What I heard from Minister Little yesterday resonated with me. And that was, he said, there are entities, I think there's concerns about PHOs and some of the PHOs that have established and re-established themselves for what they thought the future might be. What I heard was it might be communities of interest. And I thought, wow, I can see how that would work. Māori is a community of interest. If I put another hat on and an organisation, I'm involved with Lake Toba Hospice Trust. If I put a hospice hat on, a community of interest, when you've got people saying, oh, there's too many small rural hospitals and they're all expensive and then this and that and something else. And I just think to myself, we are a community of interest. And really locally and who we share boundaries with, why aren't we talking to each other and how we might be different and offer the service differently. And I'm sure Hospice New Zealand is looking at doing that differently too. But we do have the chance to talk to our neighbours and look at where we could be strengthened, how it might be more streamlined, so that the hard-earned money that each hospice goes out and has to voluntarily raise the funds each year, combined with the contract you might hold with the ministry or the then ministry, it'll be different now. The opportunities have broadened both with the Health New Zealand and their responsibilities and the authority. For Minister Henare today, he talked about mana motu hake. And if we achieve that, and I don't see why we can't, it's about a willingness of coming out of our silos, talking to each other, working together in the best interest for our populations and really for the reason why we're there, the people that we're, the families that we're there to look after. And so you have to be excited about this new journey that we're all embarking on. So I applaud Minister Little and his team and the coalition within that government structure, and in particular Minister Henare around the way he's already beginning to have the conversation with Māori. And he told us about he didn't do the Auckland Wellington da-da-da thing. He went to those places whose voices are not usually as loud. I think I've said enough. What's your next question?
And then I asked Kim if she was thinking of retiring anytime soon.
Telling myself since I was about 50. I look back now and I think, ah, I was only just beginning to really learn what it was all about at 50. I look back now and when I look at the community that I live in, which is in Tūrangi, and I see what's happening and not happening, I think to myself, while ever you're up to date, while ever you've got your finger on the pulse, why don't you support what the community is trying to achieve. We're a small rural community, as is Maunga Kino in this area, and we have all the statistics to back it up in our practice at Pihanga Health in Turangi. There's something like 4,500 enrolled population with that practice, and they deserve the service that you could get in other parts of the country. And I believe that practice is doing just that. It's doing things differently. It's writing its future and delivering its future rather than waiting for it to be told, this is what you've got to do. So in terms of what happens in our little community, why would I not be engaged? Why would I not be interested in what's happening for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren? Why would I not be interested in that? The health and well-being of their parents, and for them to be in a position to keep well and, like all parents, do well. So what's the answer to that? When people get sick of hearing my voice, I think. Or why does she have to go back to the past?
Well, I think one last question is, you know, you've had all this experience with governance. This is a really, the whole idea of localities and all these different health professional groups working together and councils and doctors groups and whana ora.
Yes.
And what advice have you got for people who sit down at the table at the start of this process?
Listen. Hear what they are saying. Don't try and fix it in your head while they're telling you what they're thinking about, because you might miss something very important. And I've been guilty of all the things that one shouldn't do over the years, I'm sure, because you get excited and passionate about things. But listening is the most important. Then being willing to accept the other person's point of view and ask the question, how do we move this forward together? Because if you can't reach that point, you're not going to deliver for the families that you're serving. And that means it's a change for all of us, really. Once upon a time, I'm going back in history. Once upon a time, while we didn't operate in the way that we are now, there were wonderful connections in the community. So policy was up there, we're on the ground, we know how to work. So let's all together, public health nurses, Plunkett nurses, doctors, let's get together and have a talk about how's it going to work for us in our community. And I learned that lesson in Porirua a long time ago. And we found when we got together and included the families, particularly like at that time Polynesian families that were struggling, going from their traditional way of living to live in a two-storey tenement English-styled state house, and they didn't even know how to use the stove. And that's when I started to learn, if you're going to say something, go to the top. And in Porirua, we did. We engaged with the district council. What were they called then? Can't remember what they were called then. They're district councils now. And we went to the council and said, if you want this community engagement to happen, we know you have flats opposite the pub in a certain place in Porirua. Can we have it, please? We didn't think we would get it. And when I went to the meeting of that particular group, I came out of there feeling like I'd been pulled through a gorse bush backwards, and I was ready to run off home, and somebody stopped me at the door and said, Kim, don't go, because this is where decisions are made. Have a cup of tea. So I learned that there's value in a cup of tea and a conversation, but the experience at the time wasn't that great, and I guess that leads me to where I am. Why would I change doing that now? As long as I'm well, I'm lucky to be well. I'm lucky to be mobile, and I have really great support at home. Sometimes I think my family, I can remember I worked as a Plunkett nurse in Porirua, and I got home one night to hear my son answering the phone saying, the Plunkett house, and he was 10, and I thought, oh, who's that? But it made me think, you know, am I not spending enough time at home? Balancing that work-life balance is actually important. But without my family, without the support through that time with my husband, I wouldn't be talking to you today.
That was Kim Gosman, Māori nurse, midwife, health services manager, volunteer, board member and optimist for better times ahead for rural health services. The Kawanata Kim mentioned is an agreement signed between the Rural General Practice Network and its Kaumātua group led by Kim and fellow Kaumātua Bill Nathan. It aims to create a new rural health network, Hawara Tai Whenua, with a stronger advocacy voice for all rural health partners and a commitment to Te Tiriti o Waitangi. As always, thanks for listening to System Fix. I'm hoping to have more news about progress with reforms in our next episode, though getting details is not as straightforward as I think it should be. Coming out soon will be details of the reference group charged with working on the health charter, which is expected to set behaviours and cultures for the health sector workforce. Work is also underway in the locality space, with selection of prototypes expected in July and August. In the meantime, I would love to hear from you if you have any news in your area regarding the implementation of the health reforms. Drop me an email at editor@nzdoctor.co.nz. Thanks for listening to System Fix, brought to you by the Health Media. If you want to learn more about changes to the health system and at the same time support independent, quality journalism in New Zealand, please consider subscribing to one of our publications. New Zealand doctor Rata Aotearoa provides news and education for general practice, primary care and beyond. Pharmacy Today focuses on news and education for the pharmacy sector and includes an awesome new education feature called Class. The Rasta Te Rārangi provides a fortnightly update on people on the move in the health sector. You can find out more about these publications by going to thehealthmedia.co.nz. It's never been more important to stay up to date with the changes taking place in our health system. And please, share System Fix with your friends. They can find us wherever they usually subscribe to podcasts. Nga mihi nui, catch you next time.